Could Will Levis be the answer to the Colts quarterback woes? We're going to talk about that today on Locked On Colts. Let's get to it.
You are Locked On Colts, your daily Indianapolis Colts podcast. Part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
Thank you all for tuning in and making us your first listen of the day. It's your daily podcast covering your Indianapolis Colts, part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day. This episode is brought to you by FanDuel Sportsbook, official sportsbook partner of the NFL. Make every moment more, but visit FanDuel.com/LockedOn to get started. I'm Zach Hicks. I'm joined by the one and the only Jonathan Hagler, here to talk about yet another quarterback in this draft process. Now, I know, I think 2 weeks ago when we were talking about this, I said Bryce Young would be the next guy up, but something changed since then. The Carolina Panthers traded up to the number one spot, and it doesn't appear as though Bryce Young will be there at four. Now, we will probably still do one on Bryce Young because, you know, who knows? Maybe the Panthers are enamored by CJ Stroud, and then the Texans go Anthony Richardson, and the Colts can get a guy like Bryce Young there sitting at four. So we'll still talk about Bryce Young for sure in the future. But today's quarterback feels a lot more realistic, and that is Will Levis out of Kentucky. Now, we're going to attack this the same way we've attacked the other ones, where first segment we talk about the positives, what we like. Second segment we talk about concerns. And then the final segment we talk about how he could fit in the NFL. We want to be up front with you. I'm much higher on Will Levis than Hag is. Hag is not the biggest Will Levis fan, but we're going to be fair and honest with this. Again, I'm much higher on Will Levis than Hag is, but let's start with the positives here, Hag. And even as someone who is not a huge Will Levis fan, the one thing that obviously stands out is just that quick release and that arm talent. Personally, I mean, outside of like Josh Allen, I think it might be the best arm I've seen at the college level. Like it, the way that he is able to generate so much power with his hip torque and just the way he gets the ball out of his hand, it's unreal. Like, I remember flipping on the film last year when he was a junior there at Kentucky being like, oh my gosh, like if he ever figures it out, like this is top level arm talent. So that's just the first thing obviously anyone wants to talk about, but like, it's insane.
Yeah. Oh no, 100%. Will Levis prototypically, you know, has the great build, has, like you said, the cannon, but it's not just, he has a strong arm. It's what type of strong arm it is. It's like, it's if I had a twitchy comes to mind.
Yeah.
You know, like when I think about corners and receivers, and I want them to be twitchy, right? If I'm thinking about a passer, I'm thinking of things like, I want a whip-like release. I want a laser. You know what I'm saying? Right. I want twitchy. So those things do come to mind when you talk about his strength. He's physically gifted, not just from a throwing aspect, but from a mobility aspect, you know. I don't think, you know, it gets brought up enough because his arm is so strong, but it's easy to make the Josh Allen comp because it's easy. Like, it's just to put it like it's when you put them next to each other, big, athletic, strong arm, mobile, willing to run, you know what I'm saying? In college, they showed a lot of the same things as far as like, well, where are the question marks? Why aren't y'all in love with him? And, you know, it's fair to point out, but like you said, I like how he throws the ball. I like what he has attached to his shoulder. Obviously, we saw the video. It was crazy. The video of him that went viral a couple of years ago. I didn't know that was him.
Yeah.
I saw it circulating again. And I was like, that was Will Levis. Like, when I watched that video a couple of years ago, I was like, that's like a middle school ball. Like, it's fake or something. Like, there's no way you're throwing that ball with so much velocity. And, like, it's just whipping through the air like that. But it's easy to see. If you go watch him throw, I mean – there's no way you don't come away impressed and like, oh, that's a first round pick.
Right. But, right.
Do it, obviously. But I mean, he has the stuff. It's putting it all together.
He does. And I love that you mentioned that video from a couple of years back, because I think one of the most impressive things about Will Levis and why I feel more comfortable with him super high than, you know, I see so many people saying another Zach Wilson or another Mitch Trubisky. The reason why I'm so much higher on Will Levis than those type of guys is because, one, you know, those guys mentally just did not have it whatsoever to succeed in the NFL. Will Levis, we saw this past year, obviously he played through an injury all year and played admirably, stood in the pocket and took some hits behind a really bad offensive line, played well. But one thing that, you know, we keep mentioning through this draft process with someone like Anthony Richardson, for instance, is, oh yeah, fix his mechanics and you're going to have a superstar, right? Will Levis is a guy where his mechanics aren't perfect right now, but he's a guy where if you watch him throw as a freshman at Penn State and then you watch him throw now, it's completely different. He went up to Canada. He worked with the biometrics like guy or something like that to fix his upper half and how he releases the ball and how he generates torque with his hips to get the ball out of his hands. And you see a difference. And that's something you don't see in any young guys. You don't see young guys drastically change the way they throw or drastically change their ability as a passer. So seeing that makes me confident. Like, yeah, you can look at footwork issues right now, but like, we have example of this kid getting better, you know, and looking better.
That article about him. I remember reading an article three years ago. I remember reading and thinking it was so cool because, I would nerd out about stuff like that. I remember taking biomechanics in college and applying it to football, and me and my professor would go back and forth about it. I didn't know that was Will Levis.
That was him. Yep, that was him. He went up to Canada and worked with that guy. Yep.
Yeah, that just blew my mind. When you said Canada, I said, hold up. That was Will Levis. But then I think about it, he transferred, and now it's like, I remember them saying a Penn State quarterback, like blah, blah, blah. Oh, that's crazy. Like, the fact that I just pieced that two together, like, I've been paying attention to Will Levis way longer than I thought I have. So, as soon as you said it, I was just like, wait.
Right. And that's just, again, it's part of this where, yes, I see the bust potential with Will Levis, and I see the scariness with it. The stats are not good. He didn't perform well this past season as a senior in SEC, but that one thing that all bus quarterbacks have, that mind, that toughness, that inability to continually improve. I've heard it with guys like Drew Locke, Mitch Trubisky, Zach Wilson, Blaine Gabbert. I've heard it with all those guys.
Yeah.
You don't hear that with Will Levis. You know, and I know it just sounds like something you'll hear like a Mel Kiper say on TV, like, oh, this kid's smart and tough or whatever. But like, we have evidence of it. We have evidence of a kid getting better every year, improving his mechanics, making himself more of a pro prospect when he really wasn't that early on. And I think that there's a lot of merit to that, you know, and that's not something we can just overlook because, big white quarterback that throws far. Like the mental side of it, maybe not anticipation, all that stuff, but like mentally with his toughness and his ability to improve, we have tangible evidence of that with Will Levis.
Oh, I mean, that's a major asset. Like, you know, you talk about guys who are, you look at Jalen Hurts. Like, you want to talk about guys. Like, obviously, he went to a more QB friendly system with Lincoln Riley, and he had some great offensive play callers in college. But Jalen Hurts, the reason why he's successful is because he's a great learner, and he was willing, and he's able to adjust to different multiple OCs at Alabama, going to Lincoln Riley's offense and just picking things up and rolling through it, going to the NFL and being willing to learn. If you're hard-headed, like some of those guys you mentioned, may or may not be, but it appears as if they push back on the things that they were trying to teach them and allow them to do. It tends to not work out very well for you. And that's one thing I do like about Will Levis. The confidence never wavered. His play wasn't as consistent as you would love it to be, but he showed a grit about himself. It looks like he has that dog in him. So if I'm going to like a guy, it'll definitely be him. You know what I'm saying? When we're talking a project, I just don't love project quarterbacks when we're talking, you know, taking them in the top five. And when we talk about outside, you know, that range, I'm cool with it. Top five, you know, I feel like you should probably take the best player available. You're kind of putting your job on the line for a project. But if you're going to take a guy project-wise, take the guy that, like you said, has improved, who will continue to improve, who's willing to improve, who has the tools to improve.
Yeah, and one more thing I want to throw in here before we move to our negatives here, which I know is going to be the part that's clipped out and thrown onto social media and stuff, because that's always what it is. But one more thing I want to say positive is he is a really good middle-of-the-field passer. So to kind of push back on the Carson Wentz comps, because we get so many of those Carson Wentz comps with him, Carson Wentz hates the middle of the field, loves it outside the numbers. Will Levis this past season was near 70% passer throwing over the middle of the field. And that's because of his quick release, because of how he gets the ball out of his hand and how he's fearless over the middle. You know, yes, there's some more turnover-worthy plays in there, but he is fearless attacking the middle of the field. And that's what you need in an NFL quarterback. You know, guys like Carson Wentz who just only want to throw it outside because there's no interception risk, that's not what you need. You need a guy who wants to attack more places in the field. And I like that about Will Levis, you know? So if he's the pick at four, yes, I have my concerns, but I can see betting on this type of person to continually get better with you.
Well, and that's, you know, when you brought it up, I thought about it. If there's a place where I consistently see Will Levis win, it's in the middle or deep middle. Yep. You know, it's like because he can drive the ball down the field. He's the type of quarterback that makes, like all the other big, the good big arm quarterbacks, not the ones that just chunk it. But it's a little extra fear into a safety's mind. What happens if I come up a little too fast? If I fall step here, this quarterback can put this ball behind me. And like you said, he's comfortable throwing to the middle and deep parts of the field. It's another reason to like his game. You get him the right weapon, he could flourish early.
Yeah, definitely. So, guys, we're going to talk about the negative reasons and why we don't love him as a top five pick coming up next. But first, the NCAA tournament is heating up, and now is a perfect time to download FanDuel, America's number one sportsbook, because new customers get a no-sweat first bet up to $1,000. That's bonus bets back if your first bet doesn't win. Just download the FanDuel Sportsbook app. It's safe, secure, and super easy to use. Then you can bet on everything from the money line to point scores and threes drained. Plus, FanDuel even lets you combine your bets for a chance at a bigger payout with same-game parlay. So don't miss the chance to get your no-sweat first bet up to $1,000 in bonus bets when you go to FanDuel.com/LockedOn. That's FanDuel.com/LockedOn to learn more. Make every moment more with FanDuel, an official sports betting partner of the NBA. All right, Hag, so I'll probably let you take it off the top here because I know you're not as big on Will Levis. And again, I'm not saying I'm a huge fan of his, but I remember you told me a couple weeks ago, you said there's always one of those top guys every class that you're just not super in on. And you said Levis is that for you this year. What are your biggest concerns when you watch him?
Well, it's inconsistency, and it's how he's inconsistent. It's the type of inconsistency, you know, because we can point out line, weapons, things like that. Well, you can be bad, but in a good way. You know what I mean? And I feel like too many times he did it to himself. And it may be a forced thing. It may be I have all these physical tools, right? And I'm going to try to will us to win, but it's the breaking from the pocket too soon and then doing something crazy like all the young guys like to do now. Oh, I have this crazy arm. I'm going to throw this ball sidearm and whip it downfield. It's those types of things. It's the interceptions that didn't have to be interceptions. You know, sometimes you'll have like the Justin Fields interceptions where the receiver runs the wrong route, throws a pick. It may be a timing thing. It may be a tip ball thing. Will Levis, it looked like he would panic at times.
Yeah.
It looked like, and like I said, it may be because of the things around him, but it looked like he panicked at times, and that's the thing that terrifies me about him. Yes. Because he has the right tools. It's the type – because the NFL, it's only going to get worse. The coordinators are going to get smarter. The people coming at you are more athletic. They're bigger. They're faster. They're stronger. What happens when you're picking in the top five? You know, and also some of these teams are in a little bit different situation. The Colts aren't that bad of a situation. Yeah. But – what happens when you do get in that slot and if everything isn't perfect? You can't play like that in the NFL. Like, you're going to end up throwing 25 interceptions and find yourself out the league or on the bench in 2 years.
Right. And we can praise Will Levis for his mental aptitude and being a tough guy, but eventually it stacks up and you start to lose confidence in yourself. And I do love his confidence, but like you said, this is where the kind of Carson Wentz stuff does come in, because Carson Wentz has that arm arrogance without it's like he has arm arrogance without the confidence to back it up. So it becomes
I got this thing. I got this thing now. I got it. And he's trying to tell everybody he has it. But then after, he's like, man, I hope they believe me. Like, you know, it's weird.
Right. Right. Where I don't think Will Levis has that. I think he has so much confidence in himself and so much arm arrogance that you see some pretty poor decisions and you see just decisions that didn't need to be made at bad times in the game. I remember his Georgia game, I think, was one of the best examples. First snap of the game, first throw of the game, he throws a beautiful deep shot down the sideline against Georgia from his own goal line. Beautiful pass, gets them down the field. Then they get in the red zone. He tries a whole shot against cover two and throws it straight to the dropping corner. Like, it was just a poor mistake that shouldn't have been made. And he kind of forced it. I think it was like on second and long too. Like, he shouldn't have forced it. And it's like, come on, Will. Like, I know it's a bad team. You're trying to will them to victory. Like, I get it. But at some point, you got to make the right decisions. And I think he did do a lot of good things. It's just those bad decisions would rear their ugly head at really bad times. Well, and I think, it kind of hurt them in general.
Yeah, and I think when you just said that, like, it made me think he doesn't let the game just come to him.
Yeah.
You know, I feel like Patrick Mahomes does it better than anybody. You know, it's like,
right.
And he's the perfect example because he's more talented, or you know, he's that tier of physical ability, right? He does a great job of letting the game come to him. Oh, we're down 14. Oh, we're down 17. Oh, we're down 21. Okay, cool. Watch this. And he lets the game happen. He's going to take his short throws. Going to take his short throws. But when he lets it rip, he's going to let it rip, and he's going to make it count. And it's learned behavior, because Patrick Mahomes was not perfect. You know, like you talked about, his pre-draft stuff wasn't perfect. The footwork, the mechanics, the things were a little off, and he was a bit of a project, and he had that year to grow. But I feel like that's one of the things that Will Levis needs to do. Let the game come to him more, not force it as much, and just play ball. Because I think if he does that, he'll be a lot better than people expect him to be.
Oh, yeah, absolutely. And then talking about a couple other things, you know, I do like that he's been more of an NFL offense these last couple years, but it's never been super smooth operating with him there. Like, obviously, again, last year, Scarangelo, just a bad coach, and they did not have a ton of talent. But even looking at the year before that in 2021, his first year as a starter, where he had some pretty productive games, it never looked smooth. Like, you would see the flashes, and you would see some good moments where you're like, okay, Will Levis, here we go. But it never looked smooth. Everything kind of looked jumbled and disjointed, and he would have really good series and really bad series. And then, obviously, again, poor situation this past season, but he still wasn't able to find that consistency from game to game, to snap to series to series. And a lot of that goes with, you know, bad decision making. Like we said, it comes with the anticipation issues. I don't think he reads a defense as well as a 24-year-old should.
No.
And again, it's only 2-year starter, so there is some reasoning for that, but that does concern me. Some other issues I had thrown down here, and I think this is one of the bigger ones this whole draft cycle, is, you know, there's a lot of numbers going around saying how accurate he is under pressure and stuff, which is true. Like, he's like a 65% passer under pressure, which is really good. But I did see last year, I think it was like a 28% pressure to sack ratio. So if he was pressured, like 28% of the time he was being sacked. And some of that had to do with his turf toe, but like, he's not like a Bryce Young or an Anthony Richardson where he's going to get out of those sacks.
Yeah.
If you're getting that pressure, he'll either stand that in there and get punched in the mouth, or he's going to go down and get sacked, you know, and in today's game where everything is about creativity at quarterback, that's pretty concerning to me.
Yeah. And he should be creative because he is a good athlete, but he's more of a downhill runner. When we talk about mobility, he's more north and south, the way he moves around, as opposed to east and west, like Bryce Young and CJ Stroud, even CJ Stroud, when they move, they're like, okay, I'm moving the pass. Will Levis is more to run. And I think one of the reasons why maybe he was productive. Do you remember when Wandale Robinson was in that offense?
Yeah.
He got fed screens after screens after screens after after screens. And I feel like that may be one of the reasons, because it never looked like he got in rhythm, because they were just trying to feed the ball to these playmakers, So we never got to see him develop a short to deep passing game. That's and it was true. All mid to deep. And it was like, it was weird, because I was such a big Wandale Robinson fan. So I noticed, I watched a lot of Will, but I watched a lot of the offense. They had some really creative screens and some really creative plays behind the line of scrimmage, but I didn't see that same creativity down the field.
Right, right. I agree completely. So it's just, it's not like any of these are not fixable. It's just, he's raw and he's 24. Yeah. That's concerning. You know, that's kind of concerning right there. A couple more notes I had here, and this is actually going to go back to something I talked about with Carson Wentz. Again, I don't think he's like Carson Wentz, but it's just easy for comparison's sake here. I talked with Dub Maddox, who's a quarterback expert, and he talked about how quarterbacks struggle to throw outside the numbers is because their brain tells them to underset certain ways and overset other ways or whatever. And it leads to a lot of inaccuracy because you're throwing against your body one way and then you're opening too much the other way and you're just throwing it over guys' heads. And we see with Will Levis, you know, outside the numbers last year, he's a 50% passer. Like, he struggles outside the numbers, like really bad. Now, for all the love I give him throwing over the middle of the field, you don't get the whole field to work with him as of right now because he's a bad outside the numbers passer. And a lot of that has to do with just his mechanics, his footwork, and just getting that right brain, left brain stuff down, which can be cured with good quarterback coaching and stuff like that. But from year one, the year that you have to start him, when you don't have time to work him with the QB coach, that's going to be an issue. You're not going to have outside the numbers much in your playbook. And that's pretty concerning to me, especially when we know how players' confidence can go down and GMs can be called to get fired if you have one bad year with a quarterback.
Oh, yeah. Well, not even just from a QB play type of deal. When people start game planning for you,
Right.
Think about it. When we're going cover three and we're rolling safeties down, we're adding extra defenders in the box. Now you're making the offense one dimensional because you like throwing to the middle of the field. What if I close it? Right. So now you can get a lot of middle field closed looks, and you know, God forbid you have some corners on the outside that can bump and run. Because now I can walk those guys up. I'm going to stack the box. Now I'm going to force you. I'm going to force you to throw outside the numbers where you're super inconsistent, where you're not confident. And now me as a play caller, I'm playing with one arm now. That's not ideal. And then that will attribute to him having a bad season, that GM having pressure put on him. And we sit this guy down for a vet who can win us a couple games because I don't need to get fired. And those are all things that you have to bring up and put into play. Because while you were saying that, I was just like, well, as a D coordinator, in my head, the wheels are already turning. I'm like, oh, he can't throw outside the numbers. Like, I got two dudes out on the outside. Like, if I'm playing the Dolphins, it's easy work. You know what I'm saying? It's easy work. I got Jalen Ramsey. I got Howard out there. I can let those guys sag off. You know, force you to throw, wide and outside. I know you got Tyreek and Waddle, but they do their dirt crossing the field and running across things like that. I can close that off.
Right.
You're making it really, really hard on the offense coordinator. So that's a very interesting, tad that you threw in there.
Yeah. So in the end, kind of the way we view him, positive and negative here, is I like the mindset. I like the traits. Mm-hmm. It's just for an older player that needs to play right away, he's pretty raw, and I don't know how much time he's going to be given to reach his full potential. That's my biggest concern with him right now. If you promise me that you're going to give him 3 years no matter what, and you're going to get him a good QB coach, and you're going to give him a good offense that can work with his ability, and you can gradually build him up, I'm good with him. I'm feeling great. But just knowing how NFL offenses and NFL teams are run, there's a lot of risk here in the top five. But next up, guys, we're going to talk about what kind of offense best suits this quarterback. We're going to talk about that here in segment three coming up right now. All right, Hag. So when you're talking about type of offense for a guy like this, I think here's my three letters I want to throw out there. And I think a lot of people associate this with running quarterbacks, and Will Levis is a running quarterback, but I'm going to go RPO.
Yes.
RPO. Yep. You don't need to be a running quarterback to operate the RPO, but when you have a guy with Will Levis's quickness and his arm speed, like his arm talent, and then you add in that he could be like a Taysom Hill type of runner when he's healthy, this could be a dominant RPO guy. Like, I know teams don't do RPO like 50 times a game or anything like that, but like if you have a good rushing attack and then you can mix in these RPOs and stuff with him, I could see a pretty good quick passing offense with him.
Yeah. Well, you mean like a running back like Jonathan Taylor and guys like things like that. But the thing about the RPO, the rules are a little different in the NFL than college. So you can't do how Georgia does it when they have linemen running downfield.
Yes.
And things like that. And you're telling the safety to commit to Brock Bowers or tackle McIntosh, whoever. But you do get a lot of really good looks from RPOs. It cleans up the picture for quarterbacks if they make their read. Right. You make the defense choose. If you have a decent O-line, a good running game and a receiver that can make plays, it simplifies the game for quarterbacks. It makes it easy for young quarterbacks. You get to see guys play to their strengths more. Oh, he's athletic and has a good arm. He likes going to the middle of the field. Well, that's perfect. That's a perfect scenario for a guy like Will Levis, because we saw the success that Jalen Hurts had, right? All the criticism Jalen Hurts had, and the Colts happened to get the guy behind all of it. So it makes a lot of sense, right? It makes a lot of sense, but that's what type of offense you want him in. Don't force him to go out there and, I want him to diagnose this way and read this way. No. Tailor it to him. Put him on the Josh Allen plan. Put him on Jalen Hurts plan. Put him on the Lamar plan. All right. We're going to tailor this entire offense around your strengths. Take out the weaknesses. We're going to run the ball. Okay. And then we're going to slowly give you weapons. Then we're going to get you an elite receiver, and we're going to get this thing rolling. If you don't do that, you're asking to get fired.
Yeah. And I love the point you made about Lamar and Jalen, all them. So we're going to get to that in a second. But the reason why I love RPO for a quarterback like Will Levis, outside of just the arm speed and all that, is when you have a talented quarterback that has some anticipation issues, has some trouble reading a defense, RPO is a great way to get them more confident, because you're reading one thing.
Yep.
You are finding that conflict defender, and you're watching what their first step is.
Yeah.
That's all you're doing. You're watching that first step, how they react to your offensive line run blocking. If they step up, you're throwing it right behind them. If they drift back, you're hanging the ball off to Jonathan Taylor. Yeah. That is as easy as it gets for a quarterback like Will Levis. And when you have his arm speed, his arm talent, to where that defender even pretends like he's going to step up, he can whip it behind them for a nice little game. I love him in RPO. I love him in middle of the field offenses where he can just attack it with triangle reads and quick hitters. Even like the wide receiver screens like he did in 2021, just get that ball out of his hand. And then obviously heavy play action. I think he's more comfortable with his mechanics when he's on the move and getting that ball out of his hands where he doesn't have to think about his mechanics, where it's all just natural baseball throwing. Yep. I think that's really good. But let's go to your Lamar point that you made, like the Lamar and Jalen Hurts plan and stuff like that. Because the biggest part about that is these guys, they showed their potential in year one, but they stunk in year one.
Yeah. People were not sold year one with either one of them.
No, Jalen Hurts, Lamar Jackson, Josh Allen, these guys stunk year one. They were all under 60% passers.
Super Bowls, MVPs, and things like that. You would not have bet that after watching those guys year one.
No. Jalen Hurts, I think, was under 60% passer. Lamar Jackson was under 60% passer, but he showed some good things. They won some games. Josh Allen was certainly under 60% passing. Yeah. Like these guys struggled year one. And it's going to be a more concerning with a guy like Will Levis because he's older, you know, because he's 24. You're like, because you're drafting this guy coming out of two NFL offense. Like, he was in two NFL offenses there in college, you know, back-to-back years, at least NFL somewhat, you know, adjacent offenses. Yeah. And you're expecting him to be more ready than that. If you were giving him the time, though, to go on that same curve as those guys, and you're going into year one being like, look, this kid's probably going to suck. He's probably going to suck this first year, but we have a plan. Then Will Levis can be really good. Like, I feel comfortable saying that. I don't think he's a Mitch Trubisky. I don't think he's a Zach Wilson. I don't think he's a Drew Lock.
Yeah.
But if you bail on him after 1 year, he is.
Yeah, 100%.
What it is. So yeah. it's like, I love that point because those guys stunk in year one, but look what they became after that.
Yeah, you have to be patient. You know, that's one of the things that drives me nuts about these teams, right? They're not patient with guys that weren't sure things. You know, you look at Trubisky, he was a one-year wonder, Tuzi, but everybody was kind of shocked, like, man, you're going to take him at two? Okay, you know what I'm saying? Like, Zach Wilson, he was the popular pick. He was the fun pick. But nothing about Zach Wilson, nobody was like, hey, that is the guy 100%. It was like competition was weak. When he played good comp, his play kind of went down. What are we doing? Yeah. And I think the one thing that Will does have going for him is he's used to not having success.
Right.
And that's okay because, you know, he can battle through adversity, still have that confidence. Why are you throwing at the combine? Because I got a cannon. He still believes in himself, you know, 100%. And what was the point? I had lost it. We were talking about not year one. Oh, yeah. When you mentioned stinking, right? If I'm a Colts fan, and, you know, we get Will Levis, and he stinks, right? He stinks for this year. Your team's probably going to be picking in a good spot next year. There's a receiver that had a that may be in play. You know, if you stink 2 years in a row, that you may be able to grab inside the top 10 that I think the Colts fans would love, right? And you would probably need to stink pretty good to go get him because he's looking like a generational-type prospect. I'm just saying, I wouldn't be too mad about drafting Will Levis if it gets me that guy.
Hag, you're coming on my show, and you're saying, and you're coming on here as the non-Will Levis guy, but you're going to sell all of Colts Nation on Will Levis with that one little statement that you said there.
Hey, because look, you draft Bryce Young, CJ Stroud. I don't think you're winning. I don't think you're gonna win under five. I mean, win less than 4 or 5 games. You know what I'm saying? Like, you need to be a 3-4 win team to draft Marvin Harrison. That's all I'm saying. That's all I'm saying because the kid's gonna light it up and you know it, I can make myself like Will Levis if I get that prize next year.
Hey, look, if he shows some signs in year one and you end up getting Marvin Harrison Jr., you're looking pretty good. You're feeling pretty good.
Josh Allen got Diggs. You know Jalen Hurts got AJ Brown, Smitty. You know he needs a true one. You know, the Colts got some good weapons, but you need a alpha number one receiver.
Yeah. So all joking aside here and all talking about the future, even more into the future, I don't hate Will Levis. And I know there are times on social media where I come off as someone who doesn't like Will Levis. I actually come off the other way, too, sometimes as someone who likes him too much. But at the end of the day, we're talking about a player who has the right mindset, has the right talent, has the right ability to be a star quarterback in the NFL.
Yeah.
Will he ever get there? Is the biggest thing. Will he have the time to get there? Whether his age is a factor, whether the teams give up on him too early, because I don't think it's going to be super pretty year one. I think this is a guy who can get there, and I do trust him as a person and trust his ability to get there. It's just, oh, and another thing I want to throw out there too is if you're looking at like talent profile and looking at his stat profile and stuff and being scared, Ryan Tannehill, Matt Stafford, Daniel Jones, like these guys all had similar statistical profiles. Josh Allen too, like these guys all had statistical profiles extremely similar to this. I don't think his, like his profile is not Anthony Richardson bad. So I don't,
not an anomaly as far as
like, yeah.
If somebody told me, hey, Will Levis is going to go in first round, I'm like, okay. Yeah. I think personally, I think he's a lot closer to Hendon Hooker than he is to CJ Stroud and Bryce Young. But I think Hendon Hooker and him are both going to be solid NFL players. You know, I don't think they're going to be out of the league in 3 or 4 years, even though they are older. I think they're both intelligent. I think they're both physically capable. I think they have the tools to be successful. And so that's why I'm not completely out on Will Levis. I just like you said, when I talk on social media, I don't know if he's top five for me personally. And he's just not that for me personally, but he has all the tools. So if you do take him, I'm not going to scoff at you. I'm going to be like, you better make it work. Yeah. You know, if you take him, you better make it work because he has the stuff to make it possible. It's all about that front office and that team and being willing to get behind a guy like Will Levis and bring out his strengths, block out the weaknesses, be willing to take a couple lumps the year one, and then move forward.
Yep. Well said, Hagen. I think that's all we have for today, guys. So make sure you tune in tomorrow as Jake and I talk about his time at the Ohio State Pro Day that he was at today, which was, I'm sure, a fun time for everybody. I know it's kind of weird that we're talking Will Levis when the Ohio State Pro Day just happened, but
hey, you know, man, they're just lining up. You know, it's meant to be, you know, but we'll see what happens.
Right. So, Hag, next week we'll either talk Bryce Young or maybe we'll jump into some Hendon Hooker because our comment sections love some Hendon Hooker on here. So we'll see. We'll see if we'll talk some Hendon Hooker. Make sure you guys are following at Locked On Colts, at Jake Arthur NFL, at Zach Hicks 2, and not at John Hagler CR. Jeez, man, I was struggling. At John Hagler CR, all on Twitter. Also, subscribe to Locked On Colts podcast on YouTube, wherever you listen to your podcast. And thank you guys for making Locked On Colts your first listen every day. Now make your second listen Locked On NFL Scouting with the Draft Dudes, from free agency to salary cap to the draft to cap management, all that more. Join NFL experts Kyle Krabs and Joe Marino as they take you through what it's like to build a successful NFL franchise every Monday through Friday. Find Locked On NFL Scouting with Draft Dudes wherever you get your podcasts and on YouTube, part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day. We will see you guys tomorrow.